Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message. In adult chapel, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 4. So Hebrews chapter 4, because we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And so while you're turning, let's see how we're doing here. Are you guys working on learning the Ten Commandments while we're going through this? You know, you're going to have to maybe do more work than just on Sunday mornings. But what's our first one? One God, God first. Number two, cut out the idolatry. No idolatry. Keep going. Number three, do not take the Lord's name in vain, the most important word. And then number four, remember the Sabbath. Someone's either cheating or they're doing good. Number five, honor your mother and father. You wanted them in here when I said that, right? But the ones that struggle with it the most are still in here, probably, because teenagers and older, and sometimes even adults. But we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. And then six, do not murder, do not kill. Murder is the specific word used in the Hebrew. Do not commit adultery. Everyone is afraid to say that one. And then this one here, the kids last week were teaching me, if you do it this way, then it's, you know, they'll cut off your thumbs if you break this command. Do not steal. And then we already talked about this one. This one's saying one thing different than all the others. Do not lie. And then last, that's our do not covet. Don't be greedy. And that's our 10 commands. They are not the way in which we are saved, because we can't keep it. They are a schoolmaster to show us that we are sinners. Especially the first and the last, because those are sins of the heart. God looks on the heart. You can fool the preacher, you can fool others, but you can't fool God. And He is our judge. And so we looked at the first three. They deal specifically with our relationship with God. And then the fourth one also does, but it deals with us as well. And that was remember the Sabbath. And we saw last week, that it is a principle established in creation. In Exodus, when He commands it, He uses the seventh day to remind them that He is the Creator. Now, when it's repeated in Deuteronomy, He reminds them of their redemption. And so the Sabbath command is to remind us of the creation ideal, that God rested and everything was very good, and is to remind us of our redemption, that we were rescued from slavery of unending toil to sin, bondage to that. But we're going to look at how it also points us to our eternal hope. And we started this last week because we saw that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that takes those commands and applies them to the heart. And in so doing, He reveals something of Himself. Because the Sabbath rest is more than a day of the week. The Sabbath rest is something we experience now in Christ. And the Sabbath rest in Christ continues eternally. And we want to look at that from Hebrews chapter 4. So Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look at it. We're jumping into the middle of the stream here, because it started up there in Hebrews chapter 3. And if you have a Bible there where you can see in those verses, there's a long quotation from one of the Psalms starting in chapter 3. And he expands on that thought over the next several verses going into chapter 4. And so we want to just jump midstream here. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And if you would, out of respect for God's word, would you stand with me? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let's pause for prayer again. Father, we just ask that you bless the reading of your word. We ask that you guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach your word, your message, O Lord. And we just pray your Holy Spirit to stir in this place and to stir in hearts, that we would come to better understand what Christ has accomplished for us, but more importantly, to understand who He is as our Savior, our Rescuer, and as our rest. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to do these things and more, to bring the lost to be saved, to bring lives to transformation, and to glorify your name in our lives. And in the name of Jesus Christ and for His kingdom we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so here we have in the book of Hebrews, the pastor of the Hebrews, he is writing this letter to his congregation. And he quotes extensively from the Hebrew scriptures. And there in chapter 3, he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. And he does this long quote from Psalm 95. And he is concerned because among his flock are people who are wavering in their public confession of faith. They're wavering. They're fearful. And it reminds him of their ancestors. It reminds him of their ancestors in the days of Moses. And in the days of Moses, you might remember, he was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's why we started that when we, at the beginning of the year, were going through the book of Exodus. And as he did so, we haven't got to that point yet, but they came to a critical juncture where God shows them the promised land and says, all right, I'm going to give it to you. And they said, no thanks. They chose the wilderness. They wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. And we, looking over their shoulders, would say, oh, that's a horrible mistake. Don't do it. But the reality is they're not unique in that decision of fear of God's not doing what He says He's going to do. They didn't trust the message. And so they turn and they missed out. That entire generation missed out except for two individuals, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of all that generation perished in the wilderness over the next 40 years. And so the next generation comes to the banks of the Jordan River, and God offers that promise again. And we know from the story that they cross over the Jordan River and they see great victories from God. But somewhere along the way, it petered out. And you see reference to that there in Hebrews chapter 4, that they too, Joshua didn't give them the rest because there were still more trials, there were still more tests, there were still more enemies. And they grew, to distrust that God would continue those great victories that He provided in the days of Joshua. And so they didn't. They got a little bit of taste. They got a taste of peace, but they didn't embrace all that God had for them. And because they didn't, you get the book of Judges. And if you ever want to be discouraged in humanity, read the book of Judges. It is a disaster that just spirals down worse and worse. And so hundreds of years later, we come to David. And David, by power of the Holy Spirit, writes this psalm and says, today is another opportunity to embrace the rest that God is offering. And yet, both as an individual, David as king, he failed to trust God and sinned against Him. And it was reflective of a nation that still didn't quite trust God. And they missed out. And within a generation, Solomon was crashing the nation into a brick wall with his immorality. And so the psalm recorded by the Holy Spirit echoes generation after generation after generation and says, do not harden your hearts. Do not be like the previous generations who missed out on My rest. And so it begs the question then, what is this rest? What is this rest that is being talked about here? Well, let's look here in chapter 4. In chapter 4, there's a couple things really important that he spells it out explicitly, but it's implied through the whole passage. One is that the rest, verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from His works. So rest is that ceasing from works. And he's going to unpack that idea more in the verses around it. And so we will here in a minute as well. But it's to cease from works. And it's interesting that he uses the word works, not just work. Because, think about this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is Paul talking about when he says that to the Ephesians? He's talking about that idea of keeping the law, keeping all these little check marks that I can make myself pleasing to God. I can't do it. It's not going to be by my works, and it's not going to be by your works. And so one of the things that he's talking about here is that idea, is that they've ceased from those works as a means to be right with God. Because it's not going to work. It's a lost cause in that. So then what is the alternative then? How can I be right with God? Well, notice in verse 3, he says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. And it's interesting because it's talking about present tense. We're entering that rest, those of us who have believed. And so contrast that. We've ceased from trying to accomplish works righteousness in order to receive by faith what God is offering us. God has offered to us His righteousness. By faith, we enter and participate in God's rest. So the rest in Christ we experience now, it's that I'm not trying to be saved by my works. I'm not trying to keep my salvation by works, my personal righteousness. Rather, I'm saved by trusting in the works of Christ and His righteousness. And when I think about that, it's a, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because that hamster wheel will wear us out trying to get somewhere where we can't get. It's out of our reach. But Christ accomplished it for us. This is kind of an interesting idea in my head, in that it's one of those fun things Jesus said at the cross, right? It is finished. He accomplished it. He did all of the works for us. And we can lean into that and trust that He did it for us and that He's doing it for us. It is His finished work. The pastor of the Hebrews says in verse 14 of chapter 3, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Partakers of Christ. So that it's by faith, the death I deserved was on the cross, and by faith, the perfect righteousness He accomplished is mine. By just trusting in Him. So regardless of our circumstances, regardless of your feelings, regardless how your day has been, trust in Christ. He's accomplished it for you. And thus He gives us peace, the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace between us and God. He gives us rest. And this is a verse that some of you will find very familiar. And we almost looked at it last week. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But in the context of what we were just talking about, does that make more sense now, what he just said there? That yoke of trying to keep up with the law that he was offering to those who've been listening to Pharisees who thought they could keep the law, but they weren't because their hearts were just as evil as everyone else's. They just put on a better show. And Jesus says, that's not what God wants. And those of you who find that laborious and that you're heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. That's what we need in this life now. But here's the great thing. That is just the start of what Jesus is doing. That's the right now. Because I'll be honest with you, there are days when it just wears me out living with me. Living with me just wears me out. Because maybe I'm a little like a Pharisee. You might think, oh, he looks like he's got it all together. He's doing all... No, it's a mess on the inside. God's still working on me. And it is wearisome, the spiritual warfare going on. Both as a fellow human being, but also as a pastor. You know, put a little bigger target on me. The devil's looking for any easy prey, as a roaring lion would. But there's some that he targets more. And so it is rough. But then I just run back to Jesus, and he gives me rest. That it's not of me, it's of Him. Which, that's now. But the pastor of Hebrews is speaking of something bigger than just now. Because as he challenges them, stay in the faith. Don't give up. He says there in verse 9, he says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There is more rest ahead than what you have now. There's coming a day in which that warfare will be over. That corruptible flesh will be put off, and we will put on incorruptible. Oh. And what now? We were talking about this Wednesday night as we've been going through Revelation 22, that he says, it's just a little phrase, there will be no more curse. Amen, brother, right? Oh, I'm ready for that day. When there will be no more curse of sin and decay and death and just everything going wrong. We joked, you know, that is where Murphy's Law was invented, right then. When Adam sinned against God, it went downhill from there. Things would go wrong. I would go wrong. But there is coming a day in Christ, there'll be no more curse. It's done. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. The whole bunch of no mores. Those are valuable, aren't they? Because what happens is that we enter into God's rest where there is no curse. And I want to tweeze this idea out just a little bit, and then so just give me a few minutes here. And I'm going all the way back to the Genesis chapter 2. Yep, and I'm still having to flip the pages because I'm having trouble getting it. Oh, I just saw it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens of the earth when they were created in the day. And it goes on. He begins talking about creation from another perspective. But I want you to notice what wasn't said in that report of the seventh day. And I'll give you a clue. Look at the verse right above where it says Genesis 2. That last phrase says, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Each day ended with that refrain, meaning each day ended. But the seventh doesn't, because the seventh didn't end. It's more than just a 24-hour time period in which God rested. It is a place. It is outside of time, where God dwells in eternity, that he is prepared, where he is nested into his creation, into the heavens, and where it's supposed to be where heaven and earth overlap, and it is his rest. He ceased from all his works, ceased from all of his creation process. And I think that's not just talking about matter, because he created out of nothing in 6 days everything. But he created time as well. And Brother Gene, I think I'm starting to get converted to you and Harry's theory. Harry's got it now. He's there. But it is that God created all of time, beginning and end, first and last, and it's all done before him. It's just there, and he can look at it. Because he's outside of that in the seventh day rest. And it's all already been done. Because you know why I think that? Because look at the Lamb that was slain from before the foundations of the earth. It had to happen in time, thousands of years after Adam lived, but it was already done. God made it so. That we were chosen before time. Don't even ask me how all that works out, but he says it, and because it was all of time is already done. It's all right there before him. And I quoted Ephesians 2 a minute ago, and I wish I was better at quoting verse 10, so I'll look it up. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared when? Beforehand, that we should walk in them. Before time, he already made us and made works for us to just walk in. They were prepared beforehand. So in time, I'm laboring, working through those works as his workmanship, as he shapes me. And so there are commands in the scriptures. One of them that's woven throughout chapters 3 and 4 here. Let us therefore be diligent. Let us strive earnestly, labor to enter that rest. He gives us those commands in order that we would do what he said, and in so doing fulfill his eternal plan. Again, I can't explain it to you. I'm just telling you what he says. My brain's the size of a soda can. His brain is the size of the limitless oceans. His thoughts are bigger than mine. But he has done this work. And we who are saved, not by works, but we're saved for works. We are saved and works being done by God through us until one day we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord," where he is in his rest, where there's no more curse and there is no more pain. We'll still work. I think it's kind of cool. We'll see that in Revelation. We're still serving, doing, but it's no more afflicted by the curse. It's only pleasurable, enjoyable, passionately serving him. So that he can tell us, and this is our last verse, and then we're done. In Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Blessed are those who die in the Lord because they enter into their rest from their labors. That toil that he tells us, don't worry, your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain, he tells the Galatians. Because there is a reward. And their works follow them. That reward continues. The work, the things that we enjoy doing for Christ, we'll enjoy even more so for Christ in all of eternity, because Christ is that rest. "Come to me," he says, "and enter into my rest." And so this morning, our invitation is simple. It is a matter of we have an opportunity to enter into that rest. Going beyond just a day on the calendar, whatever day that lands on, but into no longer working on the treadmill to be pleasing to God. Like I said, you can impress the preacher. You can impress your neighbor, maybe. Probably your spouse is a little harder because they know the good and the bad. But the reality is that God looks on the heart. That God says, I'll look upon my son's righteousness if you'll trust on him. If you'll trust in him. And then you'll find that rest for your soul. And you'll find that as you lean more into him, you'll have more of that rest, that peace. And as we continue to work and serve him, we'll find that God has an even bigger rest ahead of us. Oh, glorious day that will be. But if you will stand and respond as the Holy Spirit has applied that word to you today. Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.